Chapter 6. Bruce's blood ran cold.
Jack.
There was no way. Even a horrible father couldn't have done this to his son, especially not when Jack's son was Robin and able to fight back. Besides, even if Jack had had someone kidnap, beat, and possibly drugged him, what would be the point? What possible reason could Jack even... Insurance fraud. Drake Industries hadn't been doing well the past several months, even though Bruce had offered his reluctant assistance. Like anyone in the upper class in Gotham, surely Jack had kidnapping and ransom insurance on Tim. If Jack had to pay an exorbitant ransom to get Tim back, he would be reimbursed for his money, and the kidnapper could keep the ransom. But Jack had been beaten nearly to death, so surely... Unless that had been part of the plan? If Jack had truly wanted to sell the kidnapping scheme, the best way to do it would have been to have himself be attacked as well. Things could have gotten out of hand, and Jack could have been hurt worse than intended, which would have made making a ransom demand more difficult. Jack couldn't very well pay a ransom while unconscious. Tim whined loudly in protest, and Bruce startled. Was Tim hurt? Ah, no. He'd stopped petting Tim's hair, and the boy was offended. Bruce took a deep breath and forced himself to take every possibility into consideration. Tim could have meant something else entirely, confused by drugs or a concussion. That was probably more likely. There was a kidnap for ransom plot, but Jack wasn't involved, and there was no fraud. When Jack had fought back to protect Tim, he'd been beaten too badly for the kidnapper to demand a ransom. The insidious suspicions festered in the back of his mind, but he ignored them. There would be a full investigation by the police, and more importantly, by him, to find out what had happened and how to keep Tim safe in the future. First, he needed to get Tim to the Batmobile.
Tim, Bruce said gently.
It's my name. Don't wear it. Tim pouted as the ending of the phrase got away from him. Despite the circumstances, it still forced a smile to his lips.
I don't think it would fit me, son.
Tim frowned in thought, then nodded. He looked so cute with his face half buried in the blankets and one hand flapping around aimlessly, till Bruce took it in his free hand and gave it a gentle squeeze.
You're too fat.
Well, Bruce raised an eyebrow beneath the cowl.
Too fat to be a Tim?
Tim nodded again. The little brat. He was going to be so embarrassed when Bruce showed him the recording.
Okay, Tim. We're going to go home now.
He still thinks this is a dream.
We're going to go get cookies and hot chocolate and watch some Star Trek, okay?
Tim sniffled.
Deep Space Nine?
Of course.
Tim frowned and looked up at Bruce with deep concern.
What about Jason?
Bruce's arms were suddenly full of burned skin and shifting bones, his nose full of smoke and blood, and his son was dead. Dead and all his fault gone. Tim abruptly sat up, and just as abruptly collapsed like a puppet whose strings had been cut. Bruce caught him before a harsh landing could make any injuries worse, but Tim barely noticed. Gasping down panicked, wheezing breaths, Tim tried his best to look around the room.
Where's Jason?
Tim cried, hysteria rising every second no Jason appeared.
Where'd he go? He left me.
Tim.
For a second, Bruce thought he meant. Grief made Bruce's voice thick and vision hazy, till he realized that Jason was probably the name of the kidnapper. Just as luck that the man who kidnapped his son and beat Jack Drake within an inch of his life would have the same name as Bruce's lost son. Gotham certainly loved her irony, didn't she? Bruce sighed, trying to collect himself. The day had been trying in the extreme, and all he wanted to do was go home. First, though, he had to make sure they knew who they were after. He wouldn't be surprised if the man had realized that Jack Drake wasn't fit to pay any ransom and wouldn't be for a while. With Batman and the police on the chase, the smartest move would be to cut town and his losses, but Bruce wasn't going to let him get away that easily.
Jason who? Can you tell me anything more about him?
Tim wrinkled his nose and lolled his head to one side. I'm thirsty.
In a little bit, Tim.
Bruce ran his fingers through Tim's hair again, holding him less like the gangly teenager he was and more like an overgrown cat.
Do you know Jason's last name?
Todd.
And every rational thought fled him. What?
Jason Todd, Tim mumbled.
His heart pounded wildly.
It's a common last name, too. Maybe he...
Our Jason, Tim clarified, leaving all doubt behind.
A shapeshifter, telepathy, hallucinations from the concussion, some form of drug.
Any one of those reasons was fraught with danger. Someone knew who they were, or Tim had suffered severe brain damage, or an unknown toxin was causing him to hallucinate.
Him, Jason's...
It was Jason. He was here, he saved me, and he... Hysteria rising, Tim started to hyperventilate. Tears ran down his face. And he left me.
It's okay, Tim. Let's get you to the Batmobile, get you some ice for your head.
Run some blood tests and figure out what he dosed you with. Maybe a CT scan?
No, Jason is coming back. Tim struggled weakly to get away from Bruce. He promised.
Tim.
Everyone always promises they'll be back, but he promised he'd be back. Tim had, in his own delirious way, grabbed hold of the knife of guilt perpetually lodged in Bruce's metaphorical gut and twisted it in a full 360. Objectively, Bruce knew he should get Tim to the Batmobile immediately. Tim needed medical attention, and this Jason Todd, whether he was truly claiming to be Jason or Tim had just misinterpreted the situation due to his injuries, was extremely dangerous. On the other hand, if the kidnapper was planning to come back, then dragging Tim from the building kicking and screaming could tip him off. They had such little information, and if the kidnapper did know who they were, they needed to find him. Besides, the case was already growing more bizarre the longer he had to take stock of the situation. Despite being so dangerous, Jason had tended to Tim's wounds with more care than Bruce would expect from any average kidnapper or thug. If all Jason was after had been ransom money, he would only need to make sure that Tim wasn't in danger of bleeding out, not that Tim wasn't in danger of getting an infection. A normal kidnapper would have left Tim handcuffed as well. Dick would be here soon. He must have been 10-15 minutes away by now. Bruce would wait for Dick to arrive before making the decision. Tim snuggled closer, contented, and Bruce hugged him tight. They would wait together.
Brother.
The word echoed in his head, replacing the usual seething rage with resonant guilt.
My little brother.
Jason's feet were taking him back to the apartment in a roundabout route without him consciously making the choice, like his subconscious had assessed the situation and decided that injured teenager and emotionally distressed mass murderer were not a good combination. Hell, he was a ticking time bomb, and Robins and time bombs didn't go well together. They weren't brothers. They barely knew each other, and Jason was the only one in their relationship who didn't believe the other person was a figment of his imagination. They weren't close enough to be friends, let alone honorary brothers. The only way they could be considered brothers would be if Jason were Bruce's son and Tim were also Bruce's son. For all Bruce's faults, there was no doubt that he was going to adopt the replacement if and when he found Tim, and then Tim and Jason would legally be brothers. Of course, Jason was dead, but that didn't make Jason not Bruce's son. A flare of green rage sparked in his chest. No, Jason might legally still be Bruce's son, but Bruce was not his dad anymore. Bruce had betrayed him, abandoned him, let him die, then replaced him.
He nearly killed himself when you died.
Jason growled and punched a brick wall, hardly caring as the ragged edge tore his already bloody knuckles. Jason had always wanted a little brother or sister. When he was little, he used to imagine his mom leaving his dad. In the daydream world he fell asleep to every night, She'd marry someone else who'd be kind and loving, like she deserved, and Jason could have a new siblings and a new family and feel safe for once in his life. Grief, hot and wretched, burned in his eyes as he stormed down the sidewalk. Could she have taken him with her if she'd left? Would she have had custody since she wasn't his real mom? But she had been. Sheila had abandoned him when he was a baby, tricked him for her own gain, and left him to a brutal death. Catherine, for all her faults, had loved him, and for whatever reason, she had stayed. In the good years, she had taken care of him the best she possibly could with her resources, and once the years got bad, once the needle was the only release she could find, even then, Jason knew plenty of kids who paid for their guardian's drug habits, unwillingly and horrifically. Mom had always, always kept him safe, even when she was at her worst. She wasn't his blood, but she was his mom. He'd ended up getting that fresh start, that new family he'd always wanted, even if it had been without her. It had been so good, until the end, almost too good to be true. Memories of those years, of the good food and a safe bed, of the library and his own room, of Alfred and tea, of Bruce and belonging, struck him with a longing, as fierce as it was unwelcome, to go back in time and be that kid again. He took a deep, shuddering breath. He couldn't go back in time, and he couldn't... Jason kicked a glass bottle against an alley wall. It shattered in a spray of glittering shards that fell to the concrete where they would sit for months or years, until rain or a broom or the bottom of someone's shoe carried away the last few shards. Shit. He'd cut himself many times on glass and rusty metal during his time on the streets. One particularly nasty infection had been so bad, he'd had to drag himself to Leslie and escape out the back window before she could put him in a foster home. He was no better than all those drunks and crooks who walked around with a chip on their shoulders that had to become everyone else's problem. Swearing, Jason dropped to his knees and started picking up the shards. He shoved them in his pockets, not caring about cutting himself even more. No one else should get hurt because he couldn't keep a lid on his temper. No kid should have to suffer like he had, not because of Jason.
This is why Bruce took away Robin.
He couldn't go home. Bruce wouldn't want Jason back, and it was all his own fault. Even if Bruce had missed Jason he'd lost, the Jason that had come back was a dark, twisted facade of that child, too tainted by the blood on his hands and the poison in his mind to ever be anything Bruce could love again. Jason was a sick bastard who had wanted to kill an innocent kid for the crime of being loved by Jason's dad. By his not dad. By his... Jason growled in frustration. Why couldn't things just be simple? Why couldn't Jason just take his place as one of Batman's rogues and be done with it? Either kill Bruce, or get tossed in a cell in Arkham like the rest of them. Hell, maybe he and the Joker could be cellmates. Even that might be preferable to the hellish not knowing. No, he did know. Not about Bruce, but about Tim. Jason clenched his fist, squared his shoulders, and turned back toward the apartment. Whatever else Jason needed to do and figure out, he had to take care of Timothy Drake, the ridiculous kid out of his mind from denial and a concussion in a shitty safe house Jason had dumped him in. Who knew the kind of trouble he could get into alone? A rare sense of calm filled him as he made his way back to the apartment complex. For the first time in a long time, he had some idea what he wanted to do, and it felt like him. Not like the pit, like Jason Todd had made a decision and was going to see it through. Jason jogged up the stairs to apartment 2B.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
And hoped that he hadn't been gone too long. Sometimes, when the pit had him really frothing at the mouth, his sense of time was a bit off. Most likely, the kid would be asleep again, but Tim was still Robin. And Robins, unsupervised, were truly hellspawn. Jason used his phone to deactivate the alarm and trap around the front door with one hand as he fished the key out of his pocket with the other. With one more deep breath to settle his nerves, he strolled inside. There wasn't really much to settle for once, though. Calm was such a foreign feeling these days, let alone peace,
Why is the window open? That stupid kid has flown the coop. I will literally murder him.
Peace be damned. The living room window was wide open. Tim had probably recovered enough sense to realize how insane the situation was and had run off to find Bat Dad. Or worse, and more likely, Tim had not recovered enough sense to realize how insane the situation was and had instead just run off to find Jason because the little gremlin was the clingiest creature alive. Was this how Dick felt when Jason ditched him anytime Dick had taken him out on patrol? If so, Jason understood Dick's frustration so much better. The seething frustration was not pit rage. It wasn't even truly directed at Tim. It was directed at how absolutely stupid the kid was being. Shit. He'd need his guns. For moral support, if for nothing else. He ran a hand through his hair, grumbling under his breath about how, if this is how being a big brother is going to be, I am done, as he pushed open the bedroom door. He had already taken several steps into the bedroom toward his gun belt when two things became very clear. One, the window had been open from the outside, and two, his safe house had a bat problem. Jason, Tim flopped a hand at him in greeting. You came back. Bruce was completely still on the bed with his arms full of Timmy, staring at Jason in shock so evident that Jason could read it even with the cowl down over half of Bruce's face. Jason's heart slammed against his ribs like a crowbar. The last time he had seen Bruce, he had been the injured Robin cradled in Batman's arms. The last time he'd seen Bruce, he had died, and Bruce had promptly stuffed him in a box, stuck him out of sight, and replaced him with the newest model. Jason clenched his fist and set his jaw. What did he care? He wanted Tim to be taken care of and safe, and Bruce would make sure that happened.
When you're both stunned, whoever recovers first wins.
It was an old lesson that Bruce had taught him when he was first starting out as Robin, a versatile lesson in that it applied both to surprise and electrocution, and it was a lesson Jason was using now. Well, finders keepers. Kid's yours now. He quickly crossed the rest of the distance to his gun belt, picked it up, and turned to walk out the door. Bruce was already in his path, looming silently between Jason and the door. There was no way around him. He could only hope that Bruce hadn't put the pieces together yet. Sure, Tim had squealed his name as soon as he walked in, but there were lots of Jasons in the world, and Bruce's specific Jason was supposed to be dead. He might still be able to talk his way out of the situation. Tim mewled unhappily, and Jason sighed, buckling on his gun belt and sitting heavily on the bed beside the morose baby bird. Tim preened under the attention and leaned against Jason. If you let him go back to Jack, I'm going to have to kill you and him, though, Jason commented, absently running his fingers through Tim's hair and not making eye contact. You and Jack, that is. Tim and I will run away, won't we? Tim mumbled something vaguely affirmative and yawned. He seemed to be ready for another nap. Jason felt more than a little envious. He wanted a quick and easy way out of this situation, too. Maybe he could just shoot himself. He'd probably come back, and temporary death was preferable to just about any version of the conversation that felt doomed to happen. We'll go to Alaska or something, won't we? Jason continued.
Why won't Bruce just say something?
Be careful what you wish for. Jason? Bruce's voice was hoarse with emotion. Anger? No, that didn't sound right. Fear? No, not that either. It sounded suspiciously like grief. In no world did that voice not mean that Bruce knew exactly who Jason was. There was no getting out of this without something drastic, like pretending to be Clayface or a fear gas hallucination. As soon as the ideas occurred to him, he knew he couldn't do that to Bruce. It was too cruel. He scoffed bitterly. How far he had come in a day, from wanting to dismember Bruce's replacement child to punish his former father, to petting the replacement child's hair while trying to answer a question without causing any more damage. Jason shrugged, still not looking up. You sound surprised. It can't be you. Oh, shit. That was a very sad voice. Like Batman dangerously close to falling apart kind of sad. Jason frantically tried to make any sense of the reaction. Bruce must be nearly in tears over finding Tim. That explanation fell apart quickly, since Bruce hadn't seemed choked up while sitting with Tim. Bruce must be crying out of disappointment. That made more sense, didn't it? It did not. Bruce crying over being disappointed in Jason made literally no sense at all. Maybe he got a hangnail. There had to be an explanation for why Bruce sounded like he was crying or close to it, because otherwise that would mean that Bruce was on the verge of falling to pieces because Jason was here, which would imply that Bruce had cared that Jason was gone in the first place.
Bruce nearly killed himself because you died, Jason.
And Jason wasn't sure he could deal with that. Tim being his brother, that he could maybe handle. Bruce still being his dad was a whole different ballgame, one he wasn't sure he was ready to play. Jason scoffed. Want me to recite the first 5 chapters of Pride and Prejudice? Sorry, Dad. You didn't get rid of me that easily. Jason stood up abruptly. He had to leave. He had to get out of there before Bruce could push any further or, worse, actually cry, because Jason didn't know how to deal with any of that. He didn't look Bruce in the eye as he walked forward, trying to elbow his way past Batman. Fear curled tight in his chest, fear of what Bruce would do or say if Jason didn't get. Bruce caught him by the arm and stopped him in his tracks before he could get past the doorframe, and Jason swung a right hook in instinct. The fear rose to familiar panic at being caught, caged. He tried to wrestle his arm free, but Bruce's grip was just as unyielding as it had been the night he'd caught Jason the first time. Jason reached for his gun, but Bruce pulled him off balance into a tight grapple before he could get the weapon free. Jason writhed against him, but Bruce's hand tangled in his hair, pushing Jason's head against Bruce's shoulder. "Jason," Bruce whispered, his voice shaking. Jason froze outwardly, but his mind was reeling.
It's a hug.
For the first time in more than 2 years, his dad was hugging him. Let me go. He tried to say it as a demand, but it came out as a choked whisper. Bruce hugged him fiercely and shook his head. Never. Never. Jason's eyes burned with unwelcome tears he tried to blink away. He clamped his mouth shut. If he said a word, Bruce would hear how close he was to crying, and Jason wasn't about to cry in front of Bruce of all people. The pit flared with indignity. Why was he getting sappy? Bruce wasn't his dad. He had no right to touch Jason or keep him from leaving. How dare Bruce think he was allowed to act like a dad after all he did and all he didn't do? A soft cry distracted Jason before the rage could take root. Jason glanced over his shoulder to see. He lunged back towards Tim, barely able to wrestle free of Bruce in time to catch the kid as he tumbled off the bed. He hit his knee hard on the floor, but the pain was nothing compared to the stab of guilt when Tim turned his watery blue eyes up to Jason. You're leaving? It was a question, but it sounded like begging. Tim's spindly fingers clutched Jason's jacket, like that could stop Jason if he tried to leave. Before Jason could fumble an answer, Bruce was on his knees and swept them both up into another hug. No, he's not, Bruce promised. Jason tensed, but Tim melted with a contented sigh. He tucked his chin on Jason's shoulder and grabbed a fistful of Bruce's cape so he could hold both of them.
I am leaving,
Jason meant to say, but the words that actually escaped were, Bruce doesn't want me here. Bruce made a sound like he'd been stabbed, and Jason winced. There was something viscerally unsettling about hearing Bruce sound so pained. I just got you back, Bruce croaked. You're never leaving again.
Bruce nearly killed himself because you died, Jason.
The hug was claustrophobic, and Jason blinked quickly to maintain his composure. It was totally unfair that Bruce got a mask for all this, and Jason got nothing to hide behind.
Why?
Jason whispered.
Why won't you let me go? Why do you think this changes anything? Why do you still care?
You're my son, Bruce whispered back. It shouldn't have been enough, but somehow it was. The simple statement slotted into a hole in Jason's heart, filling it perfectly.
I'm his son.
Jason wriggled an arm out from between his chest and Bruce's, wrapping it around his father and holding him back. Sorry I'm late, Dad. Bruce had been broken so many times in his life. He had been broken apart the night his parents had been gunned down in a senseless act of violence. The pieces of him that Alfred had managed to recover and cobble together into some form of a young man had not truly come together until he broke again at the sight of a little boy at the top of a trapeze platform and the broken bodies beneath. He had been broken when his son had stormed out of the house, screaming that Bruce was ruining his life, and the broken pieces hadn't healed till he broke again at the sight of a tiny scrap of a kid stealing the tires off his car. He had been shattered, beyond earthly repair, when he'd felt the last shuddering breath leave his son's brutally beaten body, and even though so much of him had been rebuilt by Tim's stubborn determination to fix him, whether Bruce wanted him to or not, there was a missing piece that Bruce always felt as a dull ache or stabbing pain. He'd been broken again this morning, terrified that he was going to lose another son, but now, on his knees with his two lost boys in his arms, he felt more whole than he ever had. His arm, wrapped tight around Jason's chest, rose and fell with the rhythm of his son's steady breathing. Bruce remembered the feeling of holding the same boy, much smaller at the time, 2 years ago. He remembered the gurgling of blood in Jason's throat and lungs. He remembered lifting his son into his arms, only for Jason's ribs to shift at his touch. Those memories that haunted him for 2 years didn't have the same oppressive weight to them anymore, somehow. He remembered what he'd lost. Then he hugged his son till Jason wheezed dramatically in protest. The suspicious, untrusting part of him that made him Batman whispered that his previous concerns were still valid. Jason could be a shapeshifter, or the result of some drug or telepathy-induced hallucination. The part of Bruce that was Jason's dad knew he was holding his son. He knew it like he knew the world went around the sun. This was his kid. Batman? Bruce looked up from his two youngest sons to see his oldest standing in the door in full costume, with his Escrima sticks drawn. Dick looked down from Bruce to Tim to Jason in confusion. "Jason," Bruce whispered hoarsely. Dick frowned, which was fair because that made no sense at all, and looked back at Jason. "Batman, Jason is dead," Dick tensed, lighting up his Escrima sticks. "That's not him." Bruce fumbled mentally. How could he convince Dick this was Jason? What if Dick thought he'd gone crazy and tried to run Jason off? Bruce couldn't lose Jason a second time. Jason took a deep, shuddering breath and raised his head. Bruce squeezed his arm to keep him from running away or, worse, lunging at Dick. Jason stared at Dick, his face unreadable for several long seconds, before he cracked a grin, impish and arrogant in a way Bruce thought he would never see again. "Guess again, Dicky Bird." Dick faltered, but didn't lower his weapons. "If you're actually Jason..." "How am I alive?" Jason scoffed like his miraculous resurrection was a parlor trick. "I don't really know, but Talia helped." Bruce didn't know if he wanted to kiss Talia or never speak to her again. She knew his son was alive and said nothing. "How long?" Bruce croaked. Jason stiffened, then shrugged in a performatively relaxed gesture. "I don't know. I was out of it for a while. Maybe a year-ish." A year. His son had been alive for a year, and Bruce hadn't been there for him. He should have been keeping a closer eye on Talia and the Al Ghuls. They'd been so quiet. He should have known they were up to something. Dick stepped closer, his expression somewhere between hope and disbelief. "You can't really be Jason." Jason scowled. "Still not good enough for you?" Dick inhaled sharply and recoiled like he'd been burned. Bruce could see the wave of guilt wash over Dick. The boys had such a terrible relationship for so much of Jason's stay with Bruce. It wasn't all Dick's fault. Jason was too insecure in his place with Bruce to be kind, and Bruce hadn't been helping at all. But Bruce knew Dick regretted how he'd ignored Jason all those years. He tried to do better with Tim. He had been so good for Tim. But Bruce still saw the guilt from time to time. Dick closed the distance and threw his arms around Jason, Tim, and Bruce. "Never mind," Dick said, his voice muffled against Tim's hair. "You're too whiny to be anyone else." Dick yelped at what Bruce assumed was Jason jabbing him in the ribs, but But Jason didn't struggle when Dick hugged him tighter. Bruce didn't realize this kind of joy was possible. Tim's hand was tangled in his cape, Dick was curled around his little brothers, and Jason was tucked right in the middle. For the first time ever, Bruce had all his boys in his arms. All his boys alive. Bruce rested his nose against the top of Jason's head and took a deep breath before chuckling. The chuckle turned to a laugh, and Jason gave him a look, that judgy, bratty look that Bruce thought he'd never get to see again. "What are you laughing about?" Jason grumbled, but there was no heat to his tone. Bruce shook his head, still grinning. His son was bigger now, sharper around the edges, but it was still him. Bruce had lost time, not his son. Nothing in the world could ever steal that joy. Bruce ran a hand through Jason's hair, marveling that this was real. "Let's go home, Jason. Let's go home." "Yeah, whatever." Jason rolled his eyes and ducked out from under Bruce's hand, but he couldn't hide a ghost of a smile. "Let's go home." The end. Author's note. Bruce does, in fact, keep a closer eye on the Al Ghuls. Such a closer eye that he realizes that one of the Al Ghuls looks suspiciously like Bruce's childhood pictures. Before the month is out, he has four sons living at home. The next several months are the busiest, craziest of his life, but between officially adopting Tim, getting custody of Damien, and getting Jason reinstated as alive, Bruce doesn't think he's ever been happier. Podfickers notes. I often don't get a lot of recording done February, March-ish. So I am really, really excited that I got all of this done for Podfic Big Bang. With when it posts, it's just such a great time to like kick off my birthday month. This fic was hard. Like I did manage to record the last two chapters back to back, but I haven't recorded this much in so long. And then like it was just emotionally devastating. So I needed breaks. But this chapter, when Bruce, like, realizes Jason's alive and he's talking about feeling broken, I actually had to stop because I started crying. So that's where we were at. Like, this is one of my absolute favorite Batfam fics ever. And, like, it's so funny because I often just try to, like, record really, really happy things. And, anyway, I love this so much. And it was so good. And there's my computer making noises at me because it's mad at me. And yeah, Jason kidnapping Tim content is just so good. Oh my God. Oh, I want to record another one, but also I was at a protest this morning, so I don't even know how I managed to do this. So I can't wait to edit this all up. And I got to figure out a song because I'm torn between a bunch of them because they fit like the Tim's being abused by his dad and that Jason's angry, but then they don't fit the like. And anyway, none of that matters because if you're even listening to this, I'm just rambling. So thank you so much to iCelsus for writing this. Thank you to anybody who listened to it. Thank you to the organizers of the Podfic Big Bang for getting me to actually record something and record something long this time of year. Because I never do. And yeah, thanks. Bye.
Backpack is all that he knows. Shot down by strangers whose glances can cripple the heart.